ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what a big town. Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I am Branham, it's Brian behind the glass. Happy NFL kickoff day. It is finally here. I'm so fired up.
It's good. You having a little party?
Are you going to watch the games? There's so many games on it. There's two games on tonight. There's an NFL game and there's an Astro baseball game. How are you going to watch this?
Probably going to record maybe both.
And watch them later?
I'm going to watch the Astros primarily and then check in on the football game and then kind of backtrack on both of them probably after the fact.
I've kind of gone to, I value the live, I don't know how to phrase this.
Of both of them?
Yeah, it's good for my online engagement to do it live. I've noticed that.
Okay. Just throw this crap out there to get clicks.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, he's not entirely inaccurate.
So when you comment, in real time?
It's kind of a watch along a lot of times. You know what I mean? Like if I were watching a game off the DVR and Pena hit a home run, hey, Pena hit a home run, guys. That's not really going to, you know, right, do numbers like it in real time. So there is value in, for at least for me, watching things real time versus off a DVR. Obviously, if you know things to do, you got to do what you got to do. I think I'm going to go with the double TV setup today. I think I'm going to go double TV because there is a bit of a gap between these two games. The Astros start at 6:40 because they're doing a good solid for the Yankees. They're giving them an extra 30 minutes to travel on a travel day. So tonight's Astros game starts at 6:40. The football game starts at 7:20. So it's 40 minutes.
Yeah, you can catch a good portion of the start of the baseball game, but then watch them both.
I think I'm gonna go football game on the TV with the sound up, and I'm gonna go Yankees Astros on an alternate screen and mute it.
If I did that, I would reverse it. I would watch the Astros live with sound up, and I would be watching the football game on the iPad or computer.
I hear you. So that's where I'm going. What's your plan? Why are you DVRing it? You got softball? Mm-hmm. That sucks. That's terrible.
I mean, it's just my daughter and I, we kind of planned on tonight just kind of bullpen session, doing some things.
So it's not even an organized practice?
No.
Man, get her out there after the game. Put some lights on. What are you going to do, Brian? How are you going to watch these?
Football game first. I'll check in on the Astros after the fact.
Okay. All right. I'm going to watch them both live at the exact same time. Cannot wait. Going to be great. Going to be a fantastic time. Astros try to take the series tonight because they forced the rubber game with a victory yesterday. Offense started to come around a little bit. Second half of that game, we start with the pitcher, though. Costanza, Jason Alexander. What do you think of
that? The summer of George!
Look, I mean, it was almost exactly what I had thrown out there that I thought he would do. I mean, it is a formidable lineup. The thing that was amazing to me going through that lineup again last night, how many guys have 25-plus bombs? And the last time they played, you didn't think that they were going to do anything. They looked like they were fading, and then they started getting guys back. And when you look at some of the guys that Cashman picked up in that lineup that are just, I don't want to say, I guess overachieving, right? Jazz Chisholm's getting close to 30 bombs. What's his name in center field? Grisham, close to 30 bombs.
Well, they're using torpedo bats, and they play in a Williamsport.
They sure
ballpark.
Do. You can notice them. There are a lot of them that are using the torpedoes for sure. Yeah. But I just some of the guys that I would never anticipate being 30 bomb guys are crushing the baseball. But I said 5 1/3, 3 runs. I think last night it was pretty close, and I thought he pitched well. You're playing a lineup where if you lay anything over the plate, there's a good chance they're going to deposit in the bleachers.
Yeah. I thought you made a good point yesterday, too. The Yankees seeing him recently. Alexander, like, that always matters. I think it's magnified with Alexander, like, his stuff. Like, seeing his changeup 2 weeks ago is helpful versus never seeing him before. It's like that with all pitchers, but I think it's magnified with the arsenal and the stuff that Alexander has. So I thought he battled nicely. Like, I was pleased with the start. Like, I always look at starting pitcher starts as pass-fail. Like, am I pleased with that start? Yes or no? That start yesterday from Costanza, maybe our expectations are tempered because it's Jason Alexander. I was pleased with the start again. Like, he's been solid again.
Yeah, there's absolutely no question about it. He's been kind of like that savior and lifeline for you when we continue to see the revolving door of musical chairs of all these pitchers either coming back and then getting hurt or just trying to figure out who's next man up, he's been really good. And again, I would not say that is anything other than another good start for a team that desperately needs a guy that's going to give you at least five innings and is going to keep you in the ball game. And again, they didn't do what they were supposed to do against a guy that really throws a lot of first pitch strikes early in the baseball game. But then they eventually changed their approach a little bit, settled in, and got the runs they needed to get back in the ballgame.
Yeah, yeah. The bullpen was solid. The bullpen was really good, with the exception of the last guy, Okert. Yeah, gave up the run in an inning. Ort was dominant. King was dominant. That was nice to see those two guys come on and be dominant, because especially King hadn't been that dominant. Ort's been really good, other than that back-to-back walks and extra inning with the Manfred man. Abreu, though, second outing in a row. He's been subpar. That's not exciting to see.
No, not at all. And again, if you want to look at glass half full, well, here's a non-save opportunity, and the guys that normally are in high leverage spots react differently when he's not in a high leverage spot. I'm not buying that. He just, like you said, the first thing I'm thinking about is this isn't just this one-time hiccup. Now we've got two games in a row where he hasn't looked as sharp, and then he gives up the long ball last night and puts them right back in the ball game. And not that you're concerned, but it's like, okay, hopefully it's just the fact that, you know, he didn't have a safe situation, he didn't have his best stuff, but he'll be fine next time. I was contemplating all the way up until coming out of commercial break, I saw who they were going to pitch. I actually thought that they were going to sit him down and not use him last night unless they had to.
Why?
Because you got a 4-run lead.
That's not their MO, though. I'm not saying that you're wrong. Like, I like your strategy better. I like the philosophy more, not using them in 4-run games. But, like, if we're predicting what the Astros are going to do, they always use them up 4.
And even when they had Hader, you're right. That is their tendency to do that. But I'm sitting there going, because you're in a different situation now with guys you trust and how many guys you are taxing right now with the amount of work that they're getting, is that the smart move? But then when I saw who else was warming up, I'm like, but it's Kimbrel. And Kimbrel could get absolutely attacked by that Yankee lineup. So I understood it at the time. Unfortunately, he threw a whole lot of pitches.
Yeah.
And it didn't go his way.
Yeah, he also hadn't pitched since the 30th. Like, I was fine using him. I don't love using my leverage guys up 4 runs. Philosophically, I agree with you. Like, whenever I map up my season, we're not using closer setup guy whenever we're up by 4 runs. They're 3 runs or less guys, tie game even. I'd rather them be used down by a run than up by 4, to be honest. Like, if you want to do, like, what's the range where you would use those guys? And I understand the case by case, a little different scenario matters. But just, like, here's our plan, here's our baseline, and then we'll adjust based off of this baseline. I'm a 0-3-run lead. I hate using them with 4-run leads. But knowing their MO, like, it wasn't surprised that they used them, especially since he hadn't pitched since the 30th, and he wasn't good. So it's like a decent time to, like, hey, let's get him back out there, try to get him back on track. Mm-hmm. So they got him back out there. He wasn't on track, and you're right, like 30 pitches, he's probably not available today.
I would think not.
Probably not. Maybe.
I don't know because of the fact that what they saw happen with Hader, regardless of the, you know, you can't say that's the reason why, but because you can't afford to lose him, I just don't. If this was a 17, 20 pitch outing, yeah, there's a good chance you see him tonight if they're in a position to use him.
Yeah.
Tonight, I don't think they're going to use him.
Yeah. Yeah. I was having the same thought. I was wondering, did he throw too many pitches to be used today? I think it would be a little fun storyline to watch throughout the game. And how about Yordan? Yordan just continues to be a freak. We're so foolish to say temper your expectations on Yordan Alvarez. We were so silly. A couple of weeks, he'll find his way and get into form and find his group. No, Yordan Alvarez rolls out of bed and is Yordan Alvarez.
It is amazing to see what he's doing, and the fact that he just picks up right there. As soon as he gets back in the lineup, he's either getting walked, he's getting hits, he's doing things that this team desperately needs right now because some of the other guys that aren't doing it, Altuve, he has been fantastic. And this is why, short of him saying my hand hurts, I know what they've scheduled, but he's such a difference maker and impact player in that lineup that especially now that he has had his scheduled rest, and I heard Dana the other day talking about, we're still ramping him up. He's good. He's ramped up. Let's let him ride, because he is going to be a massive key to whatever you do offensively the rest of the way. And what he did last night tells you he needs to be in there.
I'm okay giving him his days off.
I mean, right now you got a 4-game lead. So it's a little different than if you were nip and tuck with, a, you know, regardless of how you look at it. If you're not looking at the division, if you're just looking at who you're trying to catch, and I'm looking at the fact that you'd like to make sure that you, in a comfortable position, can win the division and or set yourself up best. There's 22 games left in the season. I'm playing him unless he tells me otherwise.
Yeah, we differ on that. I'm totally okay resting him every fifth day, once a week, something like that. You have the, I mean, 4-game lead, like you mentioned. You're 5.5 up on the playoffs. I want him at, my goal is that Yordan Alvarez enters the playoffs 100%. So I'm okay with a day off here or there.
My big thing is, as long as you still, because this is that stretch where, you know, you're playing all these games in a row, and that's what the, even the 6-man rotation. If there isn't a day off for the whole team, then I understand your concern, because I do want him 100% when he hits the playoffs too. But we know he's not going to be 100% once he's playing all these games anyway, when he starts get the wear and tear starts getting a little bit. But depending on where you sit and what your aspirations are between now and the end of the regular season, if you're trying to catch Toronto and Detroit, and or depending on where the division situation lies, I'm doing my best to keep him out there in every lineup, and hopefully the days off for the whole team fall into place where you give him those days off.
If I told you you could play him the rest of the way, but he's 90% in the postseason, which scenario would you take?
He plays the rest of the way and he's 90% in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Ooh. I would give him every fifth day off 100%. I would much rather have that scenario. Not even close for me.
Because we're talking about, what, 2 days off over the rest of the year to accomplish, or I guess roughly, 3 days
let's
off.
Let's say 3 days off the rest of the year. Let's play the high end of it. Let's make it a little bit more challenging.
I would take 3 days off to guarantee he's 100%.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you're not winning the World Series in the regular season. Like,
no.
Give me the extra 10% of Yordan in the postseason. I would do that. I mean, it's very subjective, obviously.
Yeah, and I would factor in the other caveat would be if that meant that at 90% you avoid the wild card. Then I for sure am going 90% Yordan for the playoffs, but I avoid the best of three.
Yeah, but you're 3.5 back.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see that as attainable as you do, maybe.
But I'm saying, but that caveat would mean a lot to me, too. Like, if I could avoid the wild card, if he kept playing every day, game the rest of the way.
That's a big addition to the scenario. Because now you're getting them the rest. Like, now you're giving them the rest of avoiding that. I mean, you would give them 5 days, because in a regular season, they have to play the wild card series. You play that. But I guess that I think that it's a little bit more far-fetched, that I don't want to run Yordan ragged chasing something that might not be attainable.
I mean, I just think the wear and tear is already done by the time you get those 5 games off to start the playoffs. Either way, I would love to avoid it, because I think it's a danger zone for this team.
No, I'm with you. I just maybe I'm just being a little pessimistic that I don't really think it's in play. You do have a series coming up in Toronto next week. I mean, go in there. You know, you probably have to sweep it, but you go in there, you sweep that sucker, it's a much different conversation. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Get your thoughts on the Stros. It is NFL kick season debut. NFL, what do we call it? NFL kickoff, maybe?
Yeah,
maybe
NFL they
call
kickoff it that? Day.
It's my Christmas, really, is what it is. So we'll talk a lot about the NFL. I made I made 50-something prop bets today on the NFL season. Going to give you my favorite bets of the 2025 season a little bit later. Lee Sterling will join us at 4. Adam Ronis will join us at 4:30. Let's get to this Arrigetti news. Spencer Arrigetti landing on the 15-day IL yesterday. What does this mean for him? What does it mean for the Astros? Who's going to take his spot? Who's going to be the guy that fills in for Spencer Arrigetti? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Killer Bees on ESPN97.5 and ESPN92.5. In
with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All these hivers flexing. NFL on the big TV, Astros on the iPad. Ryan says he has a dozen TVs. Good for you, Ryan. Texter, my Tampa Bay Rays are helping out your Astros. Handshake emoji. I've always been fond of the Tampa Bay Ray organization. I've read the book, The Extra 2%. I'm a big fan of the way that they built that organization. I think I'm out on them now that they sold the team, though. New ownership. I think my fandom for the Rays, my appreciation for the Rays, I think it's dead. But I do appreciate there being Seattle. I will say that
the minor league park thing. I can't be done with that quick enough.
But I mean,
they're stuck with it. I know, because of the weather.
You had a hurricane go there. I watched a. Do you see that? I forget what it's called. Hell or High Water, maybe on a Netflix. It's the Katrina documentary. You know what I'm talking about, Brian?
Yeah, I haven't watched it. But I saw it pop up on my timeline.
I think there are three episodes. I've watched the first two.
Hulu also has one. I wasn't sure. I don't know if this is like a Firefest situation. We got competing docs, but I don't know which one's the recommended one.
It's so weird that they always come out at the same time. Yeah. What is it, the 25th anniversary?
Because Lisa's working on a package for Channel 2. Yeah.
No, it's the 20th anniversary.
Is it 20th?
Yeah, it was 2005.
It's a milestone.
Yeah, it's 20th.
I'm bad at numbers. That was so devastating. It's crazy. I forgot that like the hurricane came through. The sun came out. The flooding wasn't there yet. After the hurricane passed, they thought they were good. And then it's like, oh, all the levees broke. And then that's what flooded the city. Like, if the levees hold, they're good. And I knew it was the levee thing, but I didn't realize they were in the clear for like 7 hours. And then the levees busted.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
I had forgotten all about that. I knew the levees busted, but I didn't know the timing of it.
3 weeks later, we got hit with a hurricane.
Yeah, what was it?
I think it was Rita. No, was it Rita or...
I think it was Rita.
Was the next one.
Yeah, it was like 3 weeks later. We didn't have to go to Waco for it. It was crazy.
That was sad stuff, man. It was really well done, but it certainly pulls at the heartstrings there. Wheatstraw says, I'm going to record it on my VCR. Good for you, man. Good for you. I've got four widescreens side by side, three on the Astros, one with Dallas sound off. Why three?
Why three on the Astros?
I hope that you're pulling different camera angles on that.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all to have three on the Astros. Maybe get one of the package deals if you want to watch other games of baseball or something like that. But I don't understand that one.
Yeah, some of these ESPN like NFL broadcasts will have the alternate channels. So like that would make sense for one of those games. But the Shin doesn't have that.
No, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have three of them on the Astros. I mean, what are you doing? You're running a bar there. Thanks for the invite, though, bro. Astros talk, Jason from Beaumont. Any chance of getting Hader back for the playoffs?
I saw him on the field last night after the game. I still don't. I mean, based on the press, the press packet every game, he's still not throwing. So I would say that the chances are slimmer each and every day.
And dang, it doesn't look right. Like I mean, I don't know how you read into it because he's like rehabbing and all that stuff, but. I don't know if no news is good news or no news is bad news on this front. I really don't know.
I think that regardless, when you read in the notes that he's not throwing yet, at a certain point, like to get stretched out to be even close, I mean, assuming that the health comes back, I think it's a pretty tough proposition for him to be ready to go.
Dang shame about the guy who wrote the Rays book. Yeah, we don't need to talk about that. Yeah, I'm not sure on Hader. I don't have very high hopes on Hader. How do you run someone ragged that hasn't played all year? All right, let me try to get a little comparison here. Let's assume that you haven't exercised, Texter, for 100 days, and then you go out and just run around the block, and then you do that every single day for 3 weeks. Do you think you're going to be a little bit banged up, a little sore, a little achy? I know at my age I'm a little bit achy whenever I, step outside. I think that's how you do something that you haven't done for 100 days without any time off. I think that's how you run someone ragged.
Yeah,
it matters.
And I think that that's one part of it. But again, it was his hand. So you would think that he was conditioning. But at the same time, it's his hand. And now he's taking what he hadn't taken in so long in terms of the impact and the violence of swinging a baseball bat as hard as you can to make contact with the ball.
To be clear, I'm talking about the hand specifically. I'm not talking about his like conditioning what kind of shape he's in. I'm talking specifically the hand. The dude has had chronically bad hands for several years. That's on record. We all know that. He hasn't played in 100 games. Well, how many months was that? That he was out? Like 4 months?
It's like four.
And then we just want to run him out there for 5 at-bats every single night? It's been unrealistic there, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think getting it to this point where he's had multiple days off, that's the ramp-up process, as Dana described it. I it depends on the situation and how it lays out in front of you between now and the end of the regular season.
If Paredes makes it back for the playoffs, how do you keep all your bats in the lineup? We discussed this a little bit yesterday. Mm-hmm. Not that you care that we discussed it yesterday. We're discussing it again. Altuve at second, Yordan in left, Isak the DH. And then do you do that every game? Maybe not. Maybe it's, you know, based on who you're pitching, based on who you're facing, how good Isak is. Too. Yeah, I think there's a lot of variables. Like, we get very binary, like, this is the nine, and this is what the nine's always going to look like. And we never really take into account, okay, well, who's starting for you? Because the Astros care about that, because they want a strong defensive infield behind their ground ball guys. Who you're facing, lefty, righty. Like, obviously, this comes into play in right field with Sanchez versus righties, Cam versus lefties. Where you are in the series, which ballpark you're playing in, because the Astros don't love Altuve or Yordan playing in a big left field, and they don't love playing them on turf either, by the way. So there's a lot of variables, lots of factors.
Yeah, without question. I mean, where you are in the series, do you have to put your best offensive lineup out there? If Hunter Brown or Fromber's pitching, what does that mean defensively? I'm totally with you.
All right, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Robbie. Robbie's in the hive. Love me some Robbie. What's up, Robbie? I hope you're well.
Man, how are y'all doing today?
Doing well.
What's up, Robbie?
I'm down with Jeremy on Record the Football and Watch the Astros Live. And where are y'all going to be tomorrow?
We're going to be a couple places. We're going to be at East River 9 from noon to 6. Are we going to be out there all day?
All day.
Station's going to be out there all day at East River 9. So 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then Blankers and I are going to hightail it over to St. Arnold. Going to have some St. Arnold brews. Going to have some fantastic food. And we're going to take over St. Arnold. Whoa! That's where we're going to be, Robbie.
I was at St. Arnold today.
How was it?
It was great.
Oh, okay.
I was out there with Houston Life. I might even be on the TV show tomorrow.
All right, we'll look for
Robbie, did you stand in front of them with your cell phone trying to reach them while you were standing right in front of them?
Sir?
Did you stand right in front of the Houston Life people with your cell phone trying to call them while you were actually talking to them like you do to us?
No.
Okay.
All right, Robbie.
I talked to Tessa. I talked to Derek.
Okay, we'll look for you, Robbie. We'll look for you. I hope you had a couple of those cold brews. I know that I will tomorrow. Great place. We're looking forward to that for sure. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Tiger, what's up, Tiger?
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
What's up, man?
Not much. Woke up today. Hey, I know Killer B said for y'all's name, but I guess for according to the fans, we're just taking their account in favor. Bunch of baby back bird brains, in a sense of just less than a month ago, we had a bunch of people crying about trading Yordan. But look how good he's playing.
Yeah.
Now no one's saying anything. It makes zero sense. Sometimes it makes me sick being an Astros fan. But y'all keep doing what y'all doing. Have a good day.
You got it, Tiger. I think it's all fan bases. You know, I think so. Maybe I'm not familiar with other fan bases, but I think all fan bases do this. We're like, hey, we love a player. Keep him forever. Pay the man. Keep him here for his entire career. Then it goes bad. Like, trade that bum. Get him out of here. I just think it's every fan base, personally.
I think it's, again, whether it's the prisoner of the moment and the whole everybody hyper-analyzing everything that happens on a daily basis. And when you have a passionate fan base, and there's so many, depending on the sports and the teams that you follow, I think it's just bound to happen. And with social media where they can just air it out every time that said player does something either good or bad, it just exacerbates everything to say, it looks like with every loss, you're ready to jump off a cliff. And with every win, you're ready to anoint the guy, like you said, the most valuable player.
Yeah, that's the part of the fanatics. But you're right, Tiger. You're right. Like, I remember that conversation, too. We took a lot of those texts. I don't trust him. He's never healthy. Trade him as soon as he gets healthy. Look how important he is.
Well, look at yesterday. DFA freaking Fromber.
Yeah.
After all that garbage.
Yeah, that was something. That was something. I no longer want to argue the whole was it intentional or not. People made up their minds. I have my points. I think that I argued it well. I believe what I believe. I don't think it was intentional. We can have a conversation about it at St. Arnold, but I'm over it. I'm definitely not going to talk about it on Twitter anymore. That's a terrible place to have a growing up conversation. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line again. Homer, what's up, Homer? You're in the hive.
Hey, hello, how y'all doing?
What's up?
Hey, so tonight I'm a Cowboys fan, so I'm going to be watching the Cowboys game, right? I'm going to have the Astros on as well, but I recently canceled cable because it got expensive, but and then they shut down my website, Stream East, So I'm going to – I still have Peacock. I know the Cowboys are playing on Peacock, but the Astros game, I'm going to have to – figure that out, you know?
Yeah, I think there's other websites that are out there. I don't know them, but I saw people on the Twitter. Appreciate the call, Homer. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for calling in. Yeah, how are you flexing tonight? How are you watching the Stros in the first game of the NFL season? 713-780-3776. I don't blame you for cutting the cord. There are other ones out there. I don't know any. I'm sure you can find it if you search the internet, though. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the Arrigetti conversation. How severe is this for the Astros? How will they survive? Who will fill those innings that he was supposed to fill? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Are you in the market for a new vehicle? Maybe a pre-owned vehicle? Whatever is the case, Monument Chevrolet is the place to do it. They're the dealership that you can trust. Why are they the dealership you can trust, Branham? Well, they're transparent. They're very honest. They're very truthful. They're going to tell you exactly how it is, and that's great because most dealerships don't do that. They're trying to pull one over on you. They're trying to pull a fast one on you. All these places, not Monument Chevrolet. They're not going to hassle you with pricing. They're going to be honest with you, and it's going to be a car buying experience unlike one you've ever had. You're going to be pleased with it. It's the reason that Monument Chevrolet has been in business for 50 years. They've been serving the Houston area for 5 decades. They're a pillar of the community. They've helped generations of families get into new pre-owned vehicles, and they keep coming back because they like their car buying experience at Monument Chevrolet. It's a family feel there. From the moment you walk through the door, you can feel it. You can feel that family feel. Also, it's a very friendly atmosphere. The people there are fantastic, and it leads to a terrific culture. So get a car from Monument Chevrolet. Maybe it's the Silverado 1500. Maybe it's the Suburban that's been around for 100 years. The Blazer EV. You want to go modern. Or the Malibu. The Malibu. The economic and stylish Malibu. Get a fair deal, a fast deal, and an easy deal without wasting your time and aggravating stressful negotiations. If you're in the market, Monument Chevrolet is for you. Go check out their entire inventory at monumentchevrolet.com, monumentchevrolet.com, or go visit them in person right there at 225 and Bellway 8. Massive lot, tons of vehicles, massive inventory, and they're going to have the perfect vehicle for you at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Brian wants to be a baller.
Shot caller.
You driving Impala?
I used to. I did.
No wonder you liked the song.
I didn't have 20-inch blades on it, though, unfortunately.
Which caller do you think has the best chance?
We're going to get far out of our depth here in a second.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm moving on now. Stream 8 East was back up today. We're not going to promote piracy on
this
show.
It's back up? I thought the feds killed it.
They killed it the other day. I guess it's back up today, Brian. We're not going to promote piracy on the show. Another texture Stream East was back up today. Again, not promoting piracy. 713.
If it goes down, just go to the TV app.
Yeah, I remember whenever they banned online poker. That was a sad day. What'd they call that? Was it a Monday or a Friday?
I don't remember. I just remember all of a sudden I woke up and my PokerStars account was gone.
That was so sad. That might have been the worst day of my life, actually.
I got to believe the Falcon had a tough day that day, too. He was big on the online poker.
And this was before the poker rooms were around.
Like Texas Card House.
Weren't they there today?
They were.
That's right down the road from me. I need to check that out. These people saying they have 43 TVs is making me feel like a jabroni. They're lying. Don't worry. They don't have 43 TVs. No. Should I start George Pickens or Jerry Jeudy at my flex? Who do you think we are? We don't do
that same person.
Questions.
That same person texted in to Paul today, too, asking the exact same question.
What did Paul say?
He said he and Sean both said Pickens.
We're going to have Adam Ronis on later, but we don't ask specific player A, player B. But I go Pickens. I would play Pickens. I'm very eager to see what Pickens looks like in that offense. Black Friday. I hated Black Friday. That was terrible. Tex, you're heading to the local grill in Kingwood to watch the Astros and Cowboys game. Brian lives in Kingwood. Maybe if you let us know what grill, he'll stop by and say hello.
He's probably talking about 3B's Grill, which not an ad, but great place to watch a game.
Wasn't it last year when Brian said, oh, that place is closed? And then it was open, or Friday. Was it vice versa?
That was Friday. That wasn't. Yeah, that wasn't any like local spot.
Yeah, but Blankers was dunking on how you were wrong. That was the. That was the.
There was another one where you said time. You said it was wrong. I mean, it was closed.
It was TGI Fridays.
It was only TGI Fridays.
It was TGI Fridays on the 59.
Yeah,
and he Brian thought it was open.
I thought it was open.
I mean, they had boards on the windows.
Yeah,
like a hurricane. That was that long.
I think it was like 6 months ago. It was this calendar year? I think.
Will the Astros TV BS ever be fixed, Cowboy Trav? What does that mean, the Astros TV BS? Is he talking about maybe they're not on, like, every streaming service, maybe?
Oh, I think that's exactly
that's
it.
Probably what he means,
I think that's
yeah.
exactly
But that's not on the Astros. Like, YouTube TV, for example, just flat-outs refused to get involved with, the RSN.
See, but that's not – you can't say that's not on the Astros.
Huh.
Because every service has the ability to work out a deal, and the Astros also – can seek out trying to get it on as many getting coverage wherever they can possibly get it.
Fair, but like I'm just speaking of someone who has YouTube TV, like they flat out said we're not ever getting in the RSN business. So I don't maybe if the Astros gave it to them for free they would take it, but I don't think it'll ever end up on there.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. I mean, having lived through the whole CSN Houston debacle when 40% of the city couldn't see any of the games and trying to get outlets to carry the games, it's a two-way street.
You went through this whenever you were,
you know. You want me to say it so you can play the sounder.
We haven't played that sounder in a while. I think maybe we should use a bell. Would a bell be better or the rocket sounder or nothing at all?
It's your
you
call.
Make, no, you make the call.
No.
Rocket sounder, bell, or nothing. I'm being sincere.
Nothing would be great.
Okay. All right. Yeah. The real question is tonight a whiskey night or a tequila night? How about you? Maybe you start with a little tequila when the sun goes down. Mm. Yeah, you should mix your liquor.
I don't care actually. For tequila a whole lot.
Really?
Yeah, and I like whiskey.
Huh. I'm surprised.
The wife likes tequila.
See, I like both, but in different settings. Tequila's kind of like refreshing, I think. Whiskey's like when you want to slow down a little bit. 3B's is great, but I'm talking about Skeeters just for tonight. Brian, do you want to go to Skeeters with the listener?
No, I don't.
It's messed up, man.
Wow. Do you want to go to Skeeters with the listener?
That's too far. No, it's too far.
It's in your neighborhood, not Jeremy's?
Too far for me. It's not. It's too far for me, for sure. Skeeters is like way back 30, there, too.
It'd be like a 30-minute drive for Jeremy.
Probably longer. Skeeters is in the like deep Kingwood.
What? Define deep Kingwood.
Like deep. Like almost to Deerwood. Like Skeeters is way back there, man. That's like,
I actually
West
don't
Lake
even
Houston?
Know where Skeeters is.
I think
is.
It's on Westlake Houston.
Oh, that's
deep.
Okay, I would think Mills Branch is more deep. Now we're getting too far in the weeds. But.
For sure.
How many Skeeters are still open? I thought they were closing.
That's
up,
the
too.
Only one I know of.
Because there used to be one over off of Wesleyan. There used to be one in Sugar Land, and I don't think they're open anymore.
I like them.
They're pretty. They were good.
Yeah, I think I've only been there like two or three times. And it's
the
been
fajitas,
a while.
Good bang for the buck.
Yeah, I don't. I think I had a burger, but it was solid. Solid plate. You like it, Brian?
I've never been there. I know. I usually go to 3B's to watch games.
Flex. You know,
not an ad. Although
he's the manager or what?
Although he's talking about the bullpen.
AR Platinum. Best way to watch is to listen to the radio and send spoilers to my buddies watching on TV. LOL. AR Platinum. AR Platinum. You're banned the rest
that's
of the day.
Dirty.
That is a jerk move.
Yeah, that's dirty.
You're a troll. You're a massive troll. AR Platinum. You are banned for the rest of the day. No texts for you. Two sinnings. I'm very anti-spoiler. Like, people have these charitable causes. Like, they give money to the needy. They feed, you know, kids who are hungry. I stand up for those who have had their viewing pleasure spoiled. I am very anti-spoiler.
Yeah, I respect it. I respect how everybody else can or cannot watch the games or how they choose to. I don't want to be the guy that blows it.
In fact, Brian spoiled something for me 2 days ago.
I did?
Yep. Your text trying to dunk on us incorrectly was prior to it occurring on my television.
Oh, would you start the game late or something?
No, I don't think so.
Gosh, it could
maybe
have been.
Maybe I could have been behind and didn't notice.
Yeah,
that could have happened.
Yeah,
sometimes
I was listening to the radio when it happened.
That's what happened. You did AR Platinum. You pulled an AR Platinum.
But I didn't text as soon as it happened. I thought I lit at least 30.
Yeah, you texted.
30 seconds
you texted
to a
that
minute.
I was like, well, something bad's about to happen. Grand slam.
Yeah.
You pulled an AR Platinum. If you
not
on,
intentionally.
If we weren't on continues hitting like this and stays hot for a deep playoff run, should we just give them 100 games off every season? Why not?
Okay, as long as the playoffs are a success story.
As long as you can guarantee the playoffs, I think it's in
the
conversation.
Biggest, you're right. That's the biggest point. I mean, can they still make the playoffs, and do they have a team capable of making the playoffs without those 100 games? And then you roll with a healthy Jordan? Cool.
Yeah, see, like, we're playing out the hypothetical here. Playing out the hypothetical. If you told me you were guaranteed a playoff spot, and then you could get this version of Jordan if you sat him for 100 games over the summer, 100 days of summer, I'm in.
I think you have to be.
I'm in.
Because of how dominant he has been when he gets to the postseason, too, and what you know from a hitting for average to hitting for power, what he means to this baseball team.
I can't wait to watch Eagles and Saquon absolutely steamroll them Cowboys. He said something else instead of Cowboys, but we're not a sexist show here on ESPN 97.5. Get to Eric Getty in just a minute. A couple of things from the game yesterday. I hate K-zone culture. Jazz Chisholm striking out on a pitch that was like that far off the plate. Might have even clipped it. I don't know. He goes on Twitter and like tells people to do things to him that are inappropriate. What happened to protect with two strikes? What happened to don't leave it in the hands of the umpire? You have these dudes who are taking pitches fractions of a 16th of an inch off the plate, and then they don't get the call, and they're losing their mind. How about protecting with two strikes, especially for the final out of the game, Jazz?
So what I would say to that, too, is from the standpoint of every Major League Baseball player, the umpire establishes a zone or establishes a tendency. And so it being engaged in the game, you realize he's not giving you that. Or he's being pretty loose with how he's calling the corners, things like that. So you're already ready for that. But ironically, I'm texting with one of my buddies that's a Yankees fan during the game, and they're going, you know, how they feel about the Yankees and all this stuff. I said, well, I'll tell you what, if your guy keeps getting the calls at the bottom of the zone that Alexander's not getting when Alexander needs to kind of place his changeup and his fastball there, it's going to be a long night for the Astros. So early on, the Astros were getting kind of screwed on the lower half of the zone as well. But all you want to hear from Yankee fans is the last call of the game and then what Boone said. And then Austin Wells after the game was going crazy about how they had it out for him with the way they were talking to him and even warning him about their pitch comm going out. And it's like, okay, it's the Yankees in New York.
I'm over the K-zone culture. And like even when it's the Astros, no. Even when it's the Stros, like, oh, Correa takes a pitch on the outside corner with two strikes and it might have missed by like a fraction. Protect the plate, man.
I mean, Walsh is becoming the next version of Angel Hernandez. He's an awful strikes and balls call umpire. But at the same time, it goes both ways. You can, you know, the other thing that's really tough is everybody's immediately going to go to whatever that umpire rating thing is for the night. And they're going to go, oh, see, they got more calls to go their way than our way. You can look at it however you want to argue your case, but it's just.
I just hate the fact that everybody's griping about a fraction of an inch off the plate with two strikes. Protect the plate, man. Protect the plate. Like, that's how everybody grew up. I know it's Boomer Branham of me, but I'm a believer in protect the plate with two strikes. Did you see Cesar Salazar taking out the lineup before the game?
No, I did not.
They had Cesar Salazar take out the lineup prior to the game. That's I think it's subtle support.
They give him some extra perks so he doesn't.
Here's a question I have for you too. Do you think if this whole ordeal with Fromber and Salazar, whatever side of the aisle you're on intent, do you think if it doesn't happen, like nothing happens, you know, just normal game, whatever? Do you think that they send down Chaz or Salazar?
That's what I was just gonna say. I think regardless of what happened with the lineup card, the minute that Brian broke in and told us what they were doing yesterday, I was like, that's exactly an end result of what happened with Fromber. They're not sending Salazar down because of what happened with Fromber.
You buying that?
Yo, absolutely.
I think so too.
It doesn't make any sense. Like in a vacuum, that call up send down doesn't really make any sense. The different positions.
Look, Chaz was worthy of being sent down anyway.
Right,
just
but
to
just
get
the call up
get
a catcher and send down an outfielder makes no sense.
It's not like you need to get at bats for Chaz, you know?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, Salazar didn't play as the third catcher whenever both Yiner and Caratini were playing. Like, they were both playing, and Salazar wasn't getting any run. And now you have Yordan back. You traded for Sanchez. You just keep him around so he doesn't whistle blow, I think. I thought that the biggest plate appearance of the game yesterday wasn't Yordan, although I'm surprised they pitched to Yordan in that situation where he tied the game. Runners at first and second, two outs. I would have walked him. Give me Jose Altuve, the greatest Astro ever, instead of Yordan. But I thought Trammell had the plate appearance of the game. Bases loaded walk to give the Astros the lead.
He worked the walk. He really, again, I don't have a whole lot of trust in him hitting the baseball, but he did. That was a good job working a walk. I would say the one.
Bases loaded walk. Don't sell it short.
Okay.
Gave the Astros the lead.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So kudos to him.
I mean, I don't know why you're
I thought Christian Walker had a great at bat too.
Selling
the pitch that again.
That was a good. That was a good.
When you're talking about protecting the plate, that was one that you could easily have seen a different hitter was chasing that ball.
Sure.
And the fact that he laid off of that pitch was a hell of a piece of hitting as well.
I'm a little surprised that you're underselling the walk.
No, I'm not underselling it. You know why? It's because there's a listener out there that's going to tell you that it was the great. You saying that is going to inflate him giving it the.
I'm not going to let Israel stand in the way of my opinion and what I think.
It was quality. I think there was some quality at bats there. Again, the Yankees are going to whine that they didn't get calls and that he should have been out already, but it's ridiculous. But, yeah, it was a good at bat. Can I tell you the at bat that drove me nuts?
Uh-huh.
Altuve with a 2-0 count with two runners on, and he tries to freaking bunt.
Are you ready to move him down in the batting order?
He's struggling again. And I know that he finds it, you know, when you least expect it, you start losing confidence in him, he will find it again. But right now, he looks as close to lost as he can look. And the fact that he took a 2-0 heater and tried to bunt it, yeah, I'm ready to move him down.
Yeah, I think it's that time. Altuve, whenever he struggled in the past, like in 2020, knocked on Dusty's office, hey, Skip, move me down, I'm hurting this team. The only thing with this is... the struggle hasn't been as great as it was in 2020. There's also not dudes behind him who are like banging down the door to move ahead of him in the right lineup. Like, yes, I'm getting tired of grounding into double plays, but it's not like Christian Walker like deserves the promotion. It's not like Yiner Diaz deserves the promotion. Sanchez maybe, but only against righties, so that makes it a little bit tough. But no, he's struggling right now.
No, he really is.
The thing I would add to it, though, like how long would you say this current struggle is? Like 3-4 weeks for Altuve?
Probably.
That's basically what he went through in late April, early May, and then obviously he snapped out of it and was great for, you know, 2.5-3 months. So I'm not there yet. I still think this is kind of the ebbs and flows of the natural baseball season.
I would say it's a couple weeks maybe, but he's still had multi-hit games and he's had some good games. It's just right now, to me, he literally, walking back to the dugout and doing some of the things that he's tried to do and is doing at the plate, he looks like he's lost.
He's struggling. Like, I agree with you, though, Brian, that he does, like, he's streaky. Like, he's a streaky hitter. Like, and he's had streaks where it's like, his father time caught up to him, and then all of a sudden he has, like, a two-month stretch where he's like, oh, my goodness. He found the fountain of youth in those 2 months. So hopefully he does come out of it, but it's been a struggle.
So not to get into lineup talk, but would you consider flip-flopping him and Yordan so maybe he gets in front of Yordan and get some more fastballs?
Yeah, I don't love it.
I know you don't love Yordan hitting three, but...
The thing is now you're giving a struggling hitter more plate appearances than your best offensive player.
I can't do that right now.
Like, I had a radical thought yesterday.
2 and 3 is a marginal difference, though, is it not?
Every one spot is a marginal difference.
Okay. Yes, but mostly when we talk about the difference in a bat, it's like, well, 2 to 6 is a big difference, but 2 to 3 is not something I'd really worry about.
Would you rather... I mean... This is the annoyance of arguing batting orders. It's like, well, you get guaranteed more at bats, you know, all that stuff. I had a radical thought yesterday, though, when the Astros were getting shut out by Will Warren. Now, they, you know, turned it on later in the game, so it kind of, you know, silenced me, I guess. Peña hit that home run, and I'm like, you know, who's the one guy that I would like to be behind Yordan? It'd be Peña. I think Peña's the second best offensive player on this team.
I think, for me, it's hard to argue for this year.
Okay.
Right.
So, radical thought that I had. Tell me if I'm nuts. Yordan's your leadoff man. Peña bats second.
I don't love it.
Okay. Well, why is Yordan batting second? Because we want to give him more at bats. What's the best way to guarantee him the most at bats?
You don't love it, but it's not unconventional anymore when you think about Judge and Schwarber. And a lot of teams doing exactly that for that sole reason. I want as many at-bats as possible for my best hitter, and I'm putting them in the leadoff spot.
No, I completely understand. My objection to it is not, like, anti-analytics or that it's completely foreign, because exactly what you said, a lot of teams are doing that now. But, I mean, I think Jeremy has said over and over again, Yordan was put on this earth to drive in runs, and I don't love him coming up to bat after 7-8-9, is my point.
The thing with him batting fourth is he's not going to see any pitches. So, like, it is a vibes thing. Like, I do believe in your best slugger hitting cleanup. I do believe that if this team was clicking on all cylinders, that the best lineup, if they're clicking on all cylinders, is Jordan batting fourth and stacking your best three on base guys in front of him. But this offense is reeling. You're trying to use him as your spark. And look, they exploded offensively yesterday. So this is a thought that I've pinned for the moment. If they go into another struggle, let's reopen that conversation. Let's reopen that can. So I'm kind of silent on it right now. Just a radical thought that I had. But you guarantee him the most plate appearances. You're no one's pitching to him anyways with runners on base. Although Boone did yesterday, shouldn't have done that. That was a bad decision. Like, he's not going to get pitches to hit anyways with runners on base. So why not? Okay, well, if he's not getting pitches with runners on base, no one's going to give him the opportunity to drive in runs. Well, there you go. Just give him the most at bats every single game.
I'm not against it. I mean, again, if this was the first team that was experimenting with something that's this radical, it's one thing. But when you see the significant hitters that teams in baseball have done this with, and I understand your point, Brian. I agree with you that especially with what they've kind of rotated through for 7, 8, 9, it's a tough sell sometimes to think that there's going to be, because I get, you know, other than the first inning, the way that the game flow is going to tell you how many times he gets to come up with who's on base. But you're right, 7, 8, 9 matters, and there, I can understand the concern.
Well, he's not batting with people on base right now anyways. Like, 7, 8, 9 versus 8, 9, 1. And if that one is getting on base, they're not pitching to him anyways.
So, yeah, my argument would be 7, 8, 9 versus 1, 2, 3, which also might not be a big difference,
right?
Because I would hit him fourth, but mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying.
The issue with hitting him fourth, and look, I'm talking out both sides of my mouth here, because ideally he would be my four-hole hitter if all things were clicking, is that he's never going to see a pitch to hit in a critical spot. And you're reducing his plate appearances. So, like, that's my pushback with him hitting fourth.
But even if he's hitting first, though, and it's a critical situation, he still won't see any pitches.
Right. So both scenarios, he's not seeing pitches in critical situations. So if that's equal, why not give him the most plate appearances?
It's a fair argument. I still don't – I don't know. Maybe this is holding on to an old-school style of thinking and my dislike of it, but yeah. I see your point.
So 7 times out of 10, I'm on your side.
Yeah.
But I think with this current construct and their current
results,
their current form, I think that it can't be used at the moment.
So ideally, where do you put Altuve if you're going to kind of slide it?
I haven't really thought of it past 1-2, but I like the lefty righty thing. I don't hate the idea of Sanchez hitting third. Jordan, Pena, Sanchez, Correa, Altuve, 1 through 5.
I just don't know if I don't know if I believe and trust in Sanchez enough to put him that high.
Way better form than Altuve right now.
Well, I can't argue that. Right?
Yeah, I'm going on form. I'm not saying this is permanent. I'm saying the right now. I'm saying for the moment until they tell me otherwise.
Righties, or you just only against righties.
Only against righties. Yeah. He shouldn't be in the lineup against lefties. Right. At that point, you just probably move everybody up, or maybe even use Altuve in the 3 spot against lefties. Because actually, I think he's better. I think he's better against righties this year. I think he has reverse splits. Pena also hits a lot of infield hits. His speed allows him to beat, leaving Jordan prone to being thrown out at second. Seems Jordan is hitting more singles since he's come back than anything else. Now, Pena could beat out some of those double plays. Just flip Altuve and Jordan with Correa cleanup. That was kind of Brian's point. Texter, right, Brian? That's baseball 101. Jordan is not a leadoff hitter. Yeah, but we've gotten away from the traditional leadoff man. Texter needs a slump buster. Altuve cannot bat behind Jordan. That's what it's currently at, and it's not been good.
Did you throw Shohei in the mix, too,
leadoff? Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the other guy.
Yep. I think it was Correa's at bat in the 7th was so bad that the home plate umpire, first pitch was really low, called strike. Then Correa chased 2 mm-hmm. low pitches to strike out. Bad call really impacted that at bat. Fair enough. One bad call does impact an at bat. No argument there. Arrigetti got the news just before the game yesterday. Arrigetti, 15-day IL, the right elbow inflammation. What do you think this means for Arrigetti and the Astros?
I think he's definitely done for the rest of the regular season. And for me, I don't know that I think he's – I guess I would write him off for the rest of the year.
That's where I'm at. I think Spencer Arrigetti, I think best case scenario, his season's over. Like, best case scenario, season over. We'll see you when pitchers and catchers report in February. I think that's best case. Worst case is he's out next year.
And he needs a surgery.
He needs TJ.
Yeah, because the last time it was just a thumb, and this time it seems like it might be something when you're talking about an elbow or shoulder that always throws up that extra caveat of this leads to that, and that leads to 8 months. So, yeah, I just think even if you put him on the 15-day, and even when you – but again, you're a starting pitcher. So what you're losing and trying to ramp him back up and then where you are in your schedule and getting ready for the postseason, I don't think he plays again for them this season.
Yeah, I think his season's over. Even if it's on the like the minor side of things, it's hard for me to envision him coming back.
Mm-hmm.
There's just they're running out of time. Like the calendar is shrieking. I just hope it's I hope it's not TJ. I hope that he's back next season. Man. And it also ruins what was a, you know, hopeful, promising year for Arrigetti. Like we were hopeful of it being promising, but he pitched what, 5 games this year with a broken thumb, then the this. Like he started single digit games in his second season in the bigs.
And the last 2 starts specifically gave you hope.
Yep.
That by the time you got to the postseason, there were people talking about him and Alexander being who would you choose
yep.
for the third starter spot.
7 starts this year for Arrigetti, 35 1/3. I mean, it's a wasted year. Wasted year in what we thought was going to be a big year in his development. It's sad, really. It's sad for him, and it's sad for the Astros because they're out a guy that you expected to be in the middle of your rotation. So what does this mean for the rotation for the Astros?
I think you're banking on Luis Garcia a whole hell of a lot more. I mean, he is the next man up that you look at and say, I need you to be closer to what you were your last start for the rest of the season for me to feel a whole lot better about my rotation.
Yep. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday. What is your question for the Bees? 713-780-3776. We'll be doing Mailbag Monday a little bit later. Why? Because Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports is going to hand you out some winners when we come back. We'll do Mailbag Monday in about 15 minutes. But Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports joins us next. Houston, the Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Did you know that Walmart has more than 500 million items online? That's right. You can find a huge selection online that you can't find at stores at Walmart.com. Branham family's been ordering online for Walmart for quite some time now. It's wonderful for someone like me that doesn't have a ton of time, doesn't like to mess with the crowd, and doesn't want to turn off the game. Could you imagine going to the grocery store tonight? You got a couple of ball games you want to watch. It's the first game of the season, and you're going to do grocery shopping? No, but you need to get grocery shopping done. So what do? You go to Walmart.com, and you order online. Get everything you need without having to leave the house, without missing a snap, without missing a pitch. It's great. Oh, that's too expensive. Online grocery shopping costs more. That's not true at Walmart. Grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store. And because it's Walmart, you already know those prices are low. And what I love about it, they're fast. Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour. You order some food from Walmart at kickoff, you're going to get it by halftime. Going online at Walmart.com is easy to do, and it is fast. They're going to save you time. Use Express Delivery to get all the things you need from Walmart, from the groceries to home goods, even prescriptions. Walmart is changing the game. Some teams probably bring up that heart pressure. Get the prescription, it brings it down. And it can be delivered to you because Walmart's great. When it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, or throwing a party, think Walmart for all of those grocery needs. Start an order today at Walmart.com.